Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Well, welcome, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us. We have a great show lineup today, a lot of very interesting guests. Before we get to that, I want to remind you that at our audio library, which you can access from ExitCoachRadio.com, you'll find over 750-plus interviews that are categorized into 40 different topic file folders. So you can find information on growing your business, on family business issues, on financial issues, life after exit, all kinds of topics. We hope you'll go there and dig into some of our content from our expert authors, advisors, and thought leaders. My first guest today is James Sullivan, and he's with a group called Forever Forests. And they're down in Georgia, but this is an interesting topic. Now, this we're going to talk about tax planning and land conservation. It's rare that you can find a situation where you can both improve your tax situation and help conserve land. And that's what we're going to talk about with Jim today. He is in the business of land conservation. He's going to talk about the financial benefits related to conservation easements. Jim, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Bill. Good to be with you and your listeners today.
Thank you, Jim. It's an interesting topic. Tell us, before we get into that, a little bit about you and your background and how you got involved with Forever Forests.
Sure, absolutely. I come from a background, I had about 17 years in the nonprofit sector before I actually went into the for-profit sector in 2005. And at that point, I was recruited to work in business development for a national tax law firm, Bill. And so over the span of my tenure there, which was about 8 years, I consulted with thousands of business owners and high net worth individuals relative to tax reduction, asset protection, wealth preservation, and this included international clients with business interests in the United States as well. So working in close quarters with real sharp tax minds really helped me grow in my understanding of things tax related. And after 1 year in the company's employ, I was actually the first business rep to break the $1 million mark in service contracts, and in 2007, the first to bring on a client with a net worth in excess of $100 million. So I began to really understand the needs of the affluent, their tax savings aspirations, their goals, and things like that. And over time at the firm, I really grew to earn some street cred with the team, and that gave me the ability to construct strategic working relationships with other firms to bolster the variety of tax saving strategies the firm could employ for its clients. And so among those was building an on-ramp for this particular tax strategy we're going to talk about today and employing land conservation strategies. So in the body of work I did there at that firm, that resulted in about $80 million in real estate values being preserved for generations to come. And that just really created a perfect scenario for me to slide into this field that I'm working now, because I really cut my teeth on it and worked very proficiently in that space. So that's what brought me to Forever Forests, working with their team, because they were essentially a back office provider helping to consult with clients for the tax benefits, the other economic benefits of land preservation.
Well, it's an interesting path. It sounds like it's something that you saw a lot of benefits to it, and you must have some kind of great appreciation for what it can do as well in helping preserve land. So it's a really interesting niche that you've got yourself into there, James. And I think, you know, a lot of our listeners are probably wondering what the heck is a conservation easement. So why don't we start there and start with the basics of this and get some of the terms out of the way.
Absolutely. So a conservation easement is a private action taken on private land, which provides for the permanent preservation of land by restricting development. That would be development of a commercial or industrial use, certain other activities on the properties as well. So they essentially protect biological, scenic, as well as historic resources. since 1980, the U.S. tax code has recognized conservation easements to be a charitable deduction, which is where it gets its tax savings power. And over time, they've emerged as a favored tax strategy of the affluent, especially in a world of continued removal of tax incentives that favor the wealthy. U.S. legislators have continued to provide enhanced incentives for conservation easements over the decades since their inception in 1980.
So simply put, it's just basically finding either, like you said, biological, structural, or historic kind of properties out there that need to be preserved. And by investing in those types of properties, then you get tax benefits for that action.
Yeah, that's right. And the tax benefits are huge. I mean, legislators have favored it to extending a threshold up to 50% of your adjusted gross income from all sources, income of all types. So, you know, if your listeners are hearing correctly, I'm saying this particular tax strategy can have the tax savings power to cut your taxes in half. Of course, it just depends on your circumstances and the particular piece of property we're talking about and we're looking at.
Now, this is not a new concept. This has been around, like you said. This is not something that just came up. It's just maybe the first time a lot of our listeners are hearing about it. But how long has this tax benefit structure been in place?
Sure. The land conservation community first began to dabble with conservation easements like in the 60s and 70s, but it was in 1980 when President Ronald Reagan signed into law the tax benefit embodied in Treasury Regulation 170H. So that's really when it came into law. So it may not be common knowledge to the average listener, but big landowners like Ted Turner, John Malone, they all have assets under conservation easements. As a matter of fact, Forbes magazine has documented that 6 out of 10 of the top landowners in the U.S. have assets under conservation easements. The acreage in the U.S. that is under conservation easement is about the size of the state of Washington. So it's about half the size of the acreage under management by the National Park System. So it's pretty meaningful.
That's very meaningful. And so now a lot of our listeners, of course, are exiting business owners, or they may have significant income. And, you know, some of these business owners are going to do pretty well by the sale of their business. They're going to have some cash, and maybe they want to start a new lifestyle. How will they benefit from this? Walk us through what that looks like.
Sure. So the tax benefits themselves, as I've laid out, are self-evident. So if you can cut your tax bill in half, that's going to benefit you to retain more of what your life's work has retained up to this point in time. So that's the first thing to consider relevant. A land conservation strategy would also work well with any other tax-saving strategy a business owner would employ with good sound counsel to structure their exit in the most tax-efficient way possible. So you just got to kind of think of it as self-directing money that you would otherwise pay in taxes into land conservation. You retain ownership of an appreciable asset thereafter that can be kept or sold. And that's a big key that people a lot of times don't understand, is that a conservation easement does not mean that you lose title to your land. You don't lose the deed. You continue to own your land. Secondly, you don't have to give it any public access. So it can be a real win. The other thing that the listeners could value is legacy. That at this point in time when you're cashing out of a business, this is a great way to leave your mark on the world through permanently preserved lands.
Now, I'm just trying to picture what it looks like. Like somebody sells their business for many, many millions of dollars, and now they're looking for tax benefits for that money, obviously, and they decide they want to move, let's say, up to, Oregon. And they decide, mm-hmm. You know what I'm going to do? I want to have a compound for myself. And in addition, I can buy another parcel next to me. Is there a particular minimum size, where does it really come into play?
That's great. It's not so much the size of the acreage. The valuation of a conservation easement is really driven by its highest and best use. It's determined by a qualified appraisal, which equals the difference between the fair market value of the property before and after the easement takes effect. So it's important to underscore that when you place a conservation easement on your land, the highest and best use value that's used. So it's not so much the number of acres as it is the value of them. For example, we've got a project that's underway 8 miles from New York City, 40 acres of open space, and you can imagine that that's meaningful cost, but it's not a huge tract of land.
Okay.
So that's what one should think. You know, you need guidance when it comes to scoping out a property, which our team can certainly help any of your listeners with.
So it may come into favor if you find a piece of land that you buy, and it's say reasonably priced, but you can have a valuation team say there's a higher and better use of this land, it could drive your tax deduction even higher. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. And it takes some real finesse and know-how to do that, but that's exactly right.
And so is this is a U.S.-based law, it sounds like. It wouldn't necessarily play into, say, Canada or other areas that border the U.S.?
That's correct. The tax favoritism is against U.S. income. So if an international client owns land in the U.S., or rather, more importantly, if they have income in the U.S., then the tax benefits hold value for them. The other thing that's really important to a lot of our international inquiries are that they can gain citizenship through investment. So if you've got international listeners, the Department of Immigration here in the U.S. since 1990 has given provisions for somebody to invest into something here in the States, making an investment of anywhere from $500,000 to $1 million. So they could actually do something like this with a pre-qualified conservation asset, put 10 people to work, and they're on the path to citizenship.
That's fantastic. So that can really play into the multiple, needs of the wealthy that are looking for ways to not only maybe create a new life and lifestyle for themselves, and can they carve out of a piece of land? Let's say it's a 100-acre parcel, just for argument's sake, and they say, okay, we're gonna build a compound or a house on one of these acres, and the other 99 we're going to deem as conservation. Do they get to choose what land goes into a conservation, the protection here?
Yes, exactly. They really are in the stewardship control, so they can set that in the terms of the easement. Once it's set, though, it's irrevocable. So we do that with great care and guidance with, understanding of the client's goals. So, but you could do exactly that in a scenario like you're talking about with 100 acres. You could carve out a few acres for the footprint of your compound and do whatever you want on that and then conserve the rest. And you're basically flanked by big, vast open spaces. We've got pre-qualified conservation assets like that that we go around the country actually pre-identifying for individuals. So if you're not holding title to a property, we can actually concierge you to one. So,
which, again, another interesting element of that, if someone currently owns property, a substantial amount of property, and they decide, I never plan on building on this, I don't want to see it built on, I want to turn that into a conservation, they're already holding title, can they then deem some of that land as a conservation easement?
That's exactly, yes, absolutely. Many of our clients, that's their story.
That's fantastic. So it's really an interesting wrinkle. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are wondering, how could I perhaps use this? You mentioned about a property in New York. Do you have any other client stories about people that have used this that might ring with our clients to help them realize, how would I use this?
Sure, absolutely. So we got a great case study, for example, from a client from California who made significant means to make over $100 million per year, and they reached out to us because they were looking for land to ride their horses, all the while desiring to save on their taxes. So we concierged them to another client who was preserving premium development land in California. They now enjoyed the use of 300 acres for equestrian activity forever, and between the two of them, they shared a $32 million deduction, which in cash amounted to a $16 million federal and state tax savings for them to be shared between the two of them. And that's really the sweet spot, our knowledge of how to really maximize the economic benefits and to give attention to all of the value discovery that has to be implemented. And for your California listeners, that's valuable to know that there's a California deduction available as well. There's 31 states, our best count is, that recognize the deduction as well as the federal deduction.
Yes, that is valuable out here. We get really taxed pretty highly on high amounts of income and especially large business sales and things like that. So the first step, it sounds like, is the awareness that this is available. And then the second step is to give you guys a call and to learn about what it's all about. And then it sounds like at Forever Forest, you've got certain packages already figured out for people to give them examples of where they might even fit into something like this. And if not, then they can tell you, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, find me someplace in Montana, this particular situation, here's my dream. And then you go to work and see if you can make it happen for them. Is that how it works?
That's how it works, exactly. I mean, we'll work with property that you have that you've identified, and we'll take a look at it and give it a thumbs up or thumbs down as to whether or not it's got the economic values. But we can also concierge you to properties that we have all over the U.S. We spend a lot of time searching for them.
That's great. Now, let me ask you a question. It may be on the scope of this interview, but a lot of our clients are business owners, Jim, and they own buildings. They own business buildings that they've been operating in, mm-hmm. and they're thinking about how to maybe divest themselves or exchange out of that building into something that might be more, you know, beneficial. Does this fit in for a 1031 exchange?
That's a great question, Bill. It actually does. It requires some technical wizardry, though, and some important attention to detail. But yes, you could essentially cash out of a 1031 and by trading into a pre-qualified conservation asset. And in doing so, really make out nicely. I mean, it's often said by the folks in the 1031 space that the only way to ultimately beat the tax man is through death. But this would actually be one escape hatch that exists. That if there's a property that you could be pleased to own, you can trade into it. You can essentially extinguish all the tax on the gains that you've accumulated over time, and then you can end up with an appreciable asset that can be used to your enjoyment or sold.
That's a fantastic win-win for people that are saying, you know, I really don't want to necessarily get into turn it into an apartment building or another type of a commercial building to gain the 1031 use. I just want to put the money, I don't want to pay taxes on the current asset, but I want to do something that's more of a legacy. So it sounds like that could fit in very nicely there.
Yes, it absolutely could.
Well, you know, it's an interesting concept. It's a very interesting idea. And again, if you have questions about this, you ought to get in touch with Jim Sullivan. Jim, what's the best way for our listeners to get in touch with you?
They can call our offices at 770-345-9457. I'll repeat that. That is 770-345-9457. That's a great way to just reach out to us if you want to call us. I can also provide you our website as well as email. So our website is www.foreverforests.net. That's forests plural. www.foreverforests.net. And then if you want, you can even email me personally. I'd be happy to hear from any of your listeners. They can reach out to me at jsullivan@foreverforests.net. That's jsullivan@foreverforests.net.
Well, Jim, you know, one of the things that we're here for is to bring new ideas to our listeners. And this is a first for us. It's a great concept. It's very intriguing, and I'm sure our listeners want to learn more. So, again, go to give Jim a call. Go to the website at foreverforests.net or email him. Find out more about this. I don't think you have much to lose here, but you might be onto an interesting strategy here that can really help your situation, your legacy, your family situation. Very interesting. Jim, thank you so much for joining us and letting us know about this. I really think it's a fantastic concept, and we'd love to have you back sometime in the future, maybe talk about some other examples, so open up our listeners' eyes about how this can work for their benefit.
Thanks, Bill. It would be my pleasure.
We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back after this, so please stay with us.
Hi, everybody. This is Spike Reel with The Exit Coach. Business owners, can you name the 8 key value drivers that you and your managers should be focusing on to increase the value of your business? Introducing the Sellability Score Index. Visit our website and answer 25 questions about your business, and you will instantly receive your sellability score, showing you how well you stack up in the 8 value driver areas. It's a great management tool. It's absolutely free for our listeners. Just visit exitcoachradio.com and click Get My Sellability Score.
Does thinking about what will happen to your business if you're gone keep you awake at night? Will you get the price you need from your business to carry you through retirement? The BEI Network of Exit Planning Professionals is the world's leading advisor network with the power to help business owners transition out of business on their own timeline and terms. Ask your most trusted advisor to create a BEI plan for you or visit us at exitplanning.com. That's exitplanning.com.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.